Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have the words of life, that you have created us and all people in your image. We pray this morning that as we look at life, that you would speak those words of life to us and we would see you at work in our lives. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in some parts of the world, including our own, there is a growing pagan religion devoted to Santa Muerta. Now, you might not have heard of this false religion, but it is the fastest growing new religious movement in the world today. It's a religion that worships this made-up saint of death, the so-called Santa Muerta. And of course, no such saint actually exists, nor could it, because death is diametrically opposed to our Lord of life, Jesus. They've simply co-opted this imagery of sainthood for this new religion. And while I worked in Mexico in the cities of Reynosa and Matamoros, I would sometimes come across shrines dedicated to this made-up saint. And they would have a skeleton or an icon in the form of a skeleton. And people would leave trinkets and light candles and pray before these shrines. Now, this religion is particularly popular with certain cartels and others who deal in death and darkness. And so it wasn't that surprising to see one of these shrines devoted to death in front of a cartel house or in front of a brothel or a business run by the cartel. Now, this is a growing and grotesque display of the culture of death in our world. And while it might feel very far off from our own lives and maybe our own culture, I think what we actually see when we look around is an equally growing and grotesque display of the culture of death. Now, it might seem a little bit more subtle and less in your face than this, but our world worships death and participates in darkness and death, and these become the insidious norm. And if we examine our own hearts can be bent towards this way. But the way of Jesus is the way of life. And so today I want to look at this stark juxtaposition of death and life, to see what Jesus says about his mission on earth and how we as his people are called to participate in it. It's a mission to bring life and life abundant. So take a look at John chapter 10, verse 10 with me. We're going to be focusing on this verse this morning. So in John chapter 10, Jesus is describing himself as the door and as the good shepherd. He says this in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Death and life, evil and good, darkness and light. These are how the Bible describes the way of the evil one and the way of Jesus. The way of the evil one leads us to steal and kill, to exploit and pollute. It leads us to dehumanize both the born and the unborn. It leads us to competition and not compassion. The way of the evil one darkens our world and tempts us to rely on ourselves for our own needs and to push anyone who gets in the way to the side. The way of death moves us to use technology for dark and dehumanizing means, to not see the person on the other end of a social media post or on the news as a human being made in the image of God, but as an enemy. Only as a means to our own ends. The way of darkness asks us to compare our lives with those who we perceive to be more fortunate than ourselves, and it steals away our joy. The way of the evil one brings death and destruction, disease and exploitation, miscarriage and stillbirths. It brings broken relationships and poverty and addiction. But this is not the way it's supposed to be. We are not created for death. We are created for life, and life abundant. The way of Jesus, the more powerful way, is this way of life abundant. Jesus came that we and the whole world might have life, and have a sort of life that is overflowing with vitality and goodness. In this world, there are no two more diametrically opposed forces at work than that of death and life. Jesus' mission is to bring life. And you and I, as creatures of our Creator King, as image bearers of God Almighty, are to be fundamentally concerned with life. So why? Why is Jesus so concerned with life? Why is human life of particular holiness and importance? Well, take a look at Genesis chapter 1. It's in your bulletin this morning. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that on the sixth day of creation, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then a few verses later, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Unlike anything else that God creates human beings in his own image and in his own likeness. Now, this image is present, even if it's marred by the fall. It's present in all humans across all times and all places. Human life is imbued with the image of God. It's inherent to who you and I are. It's inherent to who the man on the street corner asking for change is. It's inherent to who the immigrant is. It's inherent to who the unborn child in the womb of a mother is. To all these people, it's inherent that they are made in the image and likeness of God. Now, this is extraordinarily significant. And what this means for us to be made in the image of God is complex and consequential for the whole world. And anything that seeks to destroy or harm or pervert that image is not of God. Now, we could spend hours talking about what this means to be made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. Today, in particular, as we contemplate this juxtaposition of death and life, I want us to think about what it would mean for our lives if we started seeing every person that we encounter as being a person made in the image of God. What would change if we started seeing every single human that we encounter as reflecting something of God? How would that change the way we treat them and think about them? How would that change how we think about immigrants who cross the border escaping a dangerous homeland? How would this change the way you think about the person who you see on the news or on social media? How would this change the way you treat someone with a mental illness who suffers incredibly and yet invisibly? What would this mean for how you support those with disabilities and their families? How would this change the way that you spend or give your money, or how you think about someone who struggles with their sexuality? In his sermon, The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis famously puts it like this: "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors." This does not mean that we are to be perpetually solemn. We must play. But our merriment must be of the kind which exists between people who have from the outset taken each other seriously. No flippancy, no superiority, no presumption. See, God has made us all in his image, all people. And though the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus comes to bring life. And he has gone to extraordinary lengths to bring life to his beloved, even giving himself up to death on the cross for our sins that we might have everlasting life. And he calls us, his church, to be a people who participate in this mission to bring life and life abundant. So how can we participate in this mission? I have two quick takeaways for us. The first is always a good place to start, and that is repentance. So what practices do we need to repent of in our lives? Where in our lives have we chosen the way of darkness and death? Have you chosen to view others as less than yourself? Or cheated workers on their wages? Have you exploited others by using pornography or gossiping on social media? Have we polluted the earth, causing future generations hardship? Do you look with judgment on families who struggle to keep kids quiet in church, or who simply look different? See, the way of life calls us first to repentance, to turn away from our practices that lead us to darkness, and to turn to Jesus, the way of life. And Jesus is always ready to hear our confession and to bring us to newness of life. And secondly, treat others in thought, word, and deed according to who they are to God. Image bearers. Your words and actions and thoughts have the ability to tear down and to build up, to draw people closer to God and to push them further away, to bring death and to bring life. So this week, whenever you are tempted to treat others as a means to an end or as something other than holy, Remember that the person who stands before you or appears on the screen is, in fact, a beloved creature of God who is created in his image. So remind yourself, or ask God to remind you, this weighty reality. And ask the Holy Spirit to form in your heart the desire and ability to bring life abundant to those in your daily life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen.